Broadcasting from the confines of an abandoned radio station in the secluded ghost town of High Strangeness, just outside of Area 51, it's time for full disclosure of the topics they told us were off limits. Hello, everybody. I'm Connie Willis, and this is Coast to Coast AM, broadcasting from the KOA News Radio Studios of iHeartMedia in Denver, Colorado, home of John Elway. John Elway. John Elway, they love this guy here. He's absolutely everywhere. You turn on the TV, the radio, he is there. Dude, I'll join you for dinner at your steak place. There's Elway steak places everywhere. Anyway, we'll talk about Tim Foley. You know who that is? Hopefully he'll give me a call. Tonight here on Coast to Coast AM, we are going to learn what it's like to feel like when you die. Also, we're going to explore space, the space between our ears. We'll get started here on Coast to Coast AM. Time now to turn off the lights and join me for another interesting evening of conversation, much needed education, and the chance that we might get a little closer to the truth of what lurks amongst us and what is beyond. I'm Connie Willis, and this is Coast to Coast AM. You're listening to Coast AM. Connie Willis here. Hello to you. Just getting over the flu. So I'm hanging in there, but I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas because this is the show that I'll be on before Christmas, and I won't be back until right before New Year's Eve. So I wanted to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and I'll wish you a Happy New Year when I come back. Hope everybody is having a good evening, ready for a good night for sure. Please join me on my YouTube channel. That's where you can hear me if you'd like to hear more. It's called Blue Rock Talk with Connie Willis. It's Earth's Most Interesting Conversations, and that includes people, places, and things. Again, it's on YouTube. I do a lot of neat things. Crypto Connie Tuesday, where we talk about cryptocurrencies. Wasted Wednesdays. That's a future show I'm going to do, and it's a serious look into the cannabis industry, talking about medicinal marijuanas and things like that. Kind of a controversial show, but not really, because we're going to be talking about how it helps people that are sick. Far Out Thursday, we talk about aliens and remote viewing. Bigfoot Friday, come on, that explains itself right there. Stan's Bible Lecture, we have that as well. It's an ex-rocket scientist that talks about the Bible and encourages you to fight with him on that and argue. He likes that kind of stuff. And it's just fun. It really is fun. You can hear it all over the place, Telegram and Steemit and D-Mania and Vim TV and all that kind of stuff. And also soon it will be on the iHeartMedia, the Spreaker. And I hope that you will tune in. I hope you'll go over there and subscribe and be a Blue Rocker. A Blue Rocker is someone in the know. So a couple of other things to discuss, not as happy, but I wanted to make sure I said something about Jose, who passed away this past week here, best known for the study of rods. You've seen him on multiple shows and heard him here on Coast to Coast, of course, many, many, many times. The brief moment I got to speak with him, very nice, and he will definitely be missed. His research, though, will definitely go on. Very interesting stuff that he had for sure. Also, William Dranganis passed away, too. This was last week. He was a big Bigfoot researcher and very interesting as well. He found Bigfoot when he was metal detecting with two FBI guys. They were searching out there for gold, and then after that, William was searching for Bigfoot ever since. Now, the story I always got about who William was this is the story he told me. And he said this was the story to always give, and that was that he is the guy that FBI and the NSA and the CIA called when they needed surveillance devices. So he was on the cutting edge of all that. So he would take that, his knowledge, to create devices to try to find Bigfoot. Because you know how hard that is to get pictures that's not a blob squatch, as they call it. So that was what he at least told me that he did. I think it was really something even beyond that, because that's what he said was okay to say. But he was one of the kindest, neatest, coolest gentlemen you'd ever meet. Men and women alike loved him, and he will be missed. Some better news. is the fact that we talked about him a few different times, and he was, of course, here on Coast to Coast many times, and that is Stan Larimer, the godfather of BitShares and the father of Dan Larimer, who created Steemit, BitShares EOS. He's like the number one guy in crypto out there. Is fully recovering from a massive heart attack, should be home for the holidays. That's great news. Now, can I say the same for cryptocurrency? Will it have a full recovery? I don't know. We'll find out, right? And I did get to go to something that I've mentioned here before called Earth Roamer, the headquarters. It is outside of Denver. It is one of the coolest RV luxury vehicles in the world. And one day that will be the Blue Rocker Mobile. I'm telling you, it will be. I'm looking forward to that. So I hope you will become a Blue Rocker, and thank those of you that are here with us tonight on Coast to Coast. So a couple of really cool people to talk to. Once again tonight, we're going to get into depth with Dr. Eric Hasseltine. That'll be later. But right now we're going to talk to a lady, Carissa Hartley. She's a psychic medium, paranormal investigator. And, you know, it's funny how a lot of people will say, yeah, psychics, mediums, there's a dime a dozen. And, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. They'll tell you the same thing. But there are some that stick out way more than others. And when they do, you got to snag them and you got to hold on to them. Those are the ones you want to be your friends. Those are the ones that if you have any type of show whatsoever, those are the ones you want to put on your show, because there's a lot of people out there that is the dime a dozen kind of psychic medium. And when you know that they're mediocre, you know, here's the deal with those types. When they give you a reading or talk about things and it's wrong, it can give you false hope, and that's cruel. It can take you down pathways where you make decisions that you shouldn't be making. So when there's some good ones out there, and maybe you don't even think any of them are good, that's okay. But when I get a good vibe with someone, and I can see another angle of them that's never spoken about, that's when I want to snag them up, and that's what I did with Carissa. Because she's got some really neat abilities that no one else does, that at least no one's ever described it like that. So that's why I wanted to bring her on. So she's a medical medium. That means she picks up the health elements of those that have passed. So she can feel exactly how a person has died within her own body. Now, a lot of people talk about this, but no one's ever described it in a way of where it just caught my ear to say, wait a minute, how many times has this happened? Well, she's a medium, so a lot of people have come to her about past, you know, ones that have passed, loved ones that have passed. And sometimes they want to know, well, how did it happen? Were they okay? Did they suffer? Depending on what the situation was. And so because of that, she, you know, they come right back to her if you ask her anything about them. So I thought, well, that's interesting. Because not only will it help the family or even police, FBI, whoever's asking these questions to her, but it can also relieve some people from the fear. Now, I'm going to ask her some of these questions, but I've always heard that when people have drowned, that it just feels like they fall asleep. These are from people that have been revived, right? Or we wouldn't know otherwise. So it'll be interesting to hear from her. So Carissa Hartley, welcome to Coast AM. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So here you are, Coast to Coast. Now, before we go on, I guess let's go ahead and say you also have a husband that's like a paranormal dude. So let's at least say hi to him, because I'm sure he's a big fan of Coast to Coast as well.
Yep. Hi, Bill.
And what's Bill do?
He was on Ghost of Shepherdstown. It was on Destination America and TLC. He was main cast of the show.
Okay. All right. And, you know, I usually watch a lot of those things. I never saw that one, but I guess are they still moving on? Has he got some more shows in the future?
We're actually working on some projects right now with some people that were on this show as well. So there is some talk going on.
Okay, good. Well, good luck. I always love when we get to spread the word. You know what I mean? I want to spread the word. So people will know this stuff.
Maybe the first I tell once it's official.
Oh, okay. Okay. Excellent. But I mean, just in general, whenever people do shows, I want the world to know these things are real. This stuff is real and it all connects. And you being a psychic medium, you can agree to that, right?
Exactly. And it is interesting because he's more of a skeptical person than me. You know, before he met me, he actually didn't believe in psychics or mediums. But I've slowly started turning him around just a little bit.
Well, good for you. Well, it happens when there's somebody that really knows what they're doing. When someone will predict something and it really happens, or they can tune into something. So before you describe some of these cases that you are going to describe to us tonight, in being a psychic and a medium, you know, when did you learn that you were, and is your family, is it genetic?
It is genetic. I actually just found out that it's genetics throughout my family. I grew up in a really religious family, so they didn't talk about it much. Like, I've always been the black sheep that's like, I can do this. I can see these things. I can hear these things. I want answers, and I want to explore it, whereas the rest of my family kind of tries to hide it away, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's usually the case, isn't it? Especially the older generations.
Yeah, I mean, most of them have been very supportive about my journey. You know, I've pretty much been able to do what I do since I was little. The way I got my name was my mother had a dream that she was pregnant, and in the dream she had a little girl about the age of 14 with blonde hair, dressed in all black, and she had asked, what's your name? And I said, Mom, it's me, Carissa. She took a pregnancy test. It came out positive, so she knew I was going to be a girl, and she knew my name was going to be Carissa.
Ooh, spooky.
And then
that's a little
things
creepy
throughout my childhood. A little creepy, right?
Yeah.
I like to enter the world with a bang. Little things during my childhood that I shouldn't have known about things. I mean, I was always telling my mom, I see these things, I experience these things. And, you know, being a very nice Roman Catholic lady with priests in the family, she was just like, it's okay, it's okay. And secretly tried to seek me therapy, but it's okay.
Really? Really?
Yeah, but, you know, and it was just one of those things that she never really told me that not everyone can do what I can do. So I went to school and I tried making friends by telling the kids I see dead people, which looking back wasn't a good idea.
Do you see dead people walking around?
I do see dead people. It's not like the sixth sense. It doesn't happen like that. But every spirit comes in differently, if that makes sense. So there's some that will come in visually, and then there's some that will come in mentally. There's some that will come in emotionally. More so, the more I get into the work that I do, the more they come in medically, where I feel how they died or I feel their pain. I've had times where I just start breaking down and crying just to find out that it was a suicide.
Well, just to get back, I want to know one thing. I knew some people that they would see dead people when they'd go to the mall or go shop, you know, just walk and go to a ball game or something. Do you see that?
I can. It depends. Like, I try to kind of, like, keep my psychic life and my private life different.
So you turn it off and on.
Yeah, I've gotten really good at being able to do that and know when is the time to turn it off. But when I was younger, it used to drive me crazy. Like, I would go into, let's say, like, Walmart, and I would just not only pick up the dead people's energy, also the living people's energy and their pain and their health ailments, and it just got to be, like, sensory overload.
Wow, as if the pictures aren't bad enough from some of those places that we see on the internet, right? But you're seeing the dead people too. A little joke. I won't go any further on that one.
The dead people and then their baggage and their attachments. I mean, it still gets to the point sometimes where, like, if the place is super crowded, I will make my husband go somewhere else. It happens more than often, but he's been forcing me to go and just kind of get over the fear and get over the anxiety from being around tons of people. Because it can be overstimulating.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. Yeah. So it would be smart to be able to learn how to turn it off and on because, I mean, it is what it is, too. If you keep it open, I guess at that point, you're feeling truth the way it really, really is.
Yeah, and there's only so much that you can handle in a day. I mean, on average, I do about 7 to 10 readings a day. So by the end of that, I try to remain as balanced as I can, or I would probably be more nutty.
You'd be more nutty. You'd be nuttier. You'd be a nuttier woman, huh?
I would be.
Oh, no, well, I know that, you know, I've heard people that have, we've done a lot of things where we've talked to people with near-death experiences. And that is very interesting stuff. A lot of them, we're talking to actual doctors that are there and working with patients, and they've revived them. And so they know that they were clinically dead. And so they were able to talk to them when they came back to say what it felt, what they saw. But you're discussing people that have already passed, to families, and to who else would you talk about this with? Police officer, missing people, that kind of thing too?
Yeah, there is missing people cases. There is police officer cases. Of course, I'm not allowed to go into too much detail about them, but I have worked alongside officers, friends, you know, sometimes just random people. Like, I know that sounds really weird, but I get a lot of people that work with the ambulances and everything like that, and clients, and they'll have a bunch of people come through and they'll be like, I remember that person. Or in hospice, then, you know, it's people that want them to know that they made an impact on their lives, or they tried to help them, and they're grateful, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's, and that's one of the reasons why I did want to bring you on, is because not everything is horrific as people think. Some of this ends up having the families feel a little better, correct?
I think most of what I do makes the families feel better, especially when we're dealing with someone that died in a horrific way. It's good to know that they have crossed on and that they are with loved ones.
Well, let's go ahead and start talking about some of them. Do you want to, I remember you telling me a couple along the way, so I'll just kind of maybe help remember some of those, and you can tell me a little bit more in detail. I remember you talking about a guy hit by a train.
Yes. Yes. He was a character. He was definitely all into government conspiracies, and smelled of marijuana. And it was just a strong smell that overcame the room. And I started feeling intoxicated, like very just drunk, for lack of better terms, and dizzy. And I started feeling like I got impacted by something, and it was like vibrating throughout my whole body. And it was a lady that was on the phone with me, and she had actually wanted to reach out to her friends that had passed, and this was one of them. And it was actually on the date that he had passed, I think, an anniversary. And it was just so intense, that feeling of just being hit. But it was over really quick. It just, when it was happening, like my entire body was just kind of into like the paralysis kind of feeling. Does that make sense how I'm trying to describe that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it was just like, I actually think I used the term with her, like hit by a pile of bricks. Because that's how it felt. Like, it just, it was really fast and really sudden. And then he just continued to talk my ear off about conspiracy theories. He's probably one of my favorite dead people that I've ever talked to, just because he was so hilarious.
Oh, that's funny. So, okay. I mean, that's funny to say funny. Not, it's a bad situation,
they
but you're saying
their personality. So, like, if you are that person in life, you're going to be that person in death, the one that thinks the government's out to get you and everything. And he's probably the most interesting one I've ever had in that aspect. Like, he literally, for a half an hour, just kept talking about the government and aliens and everything.
So they asked you about a friend, and you started...
No, they didn't ask me. No one ever asked me who they want to come through. What I do is I pretty much just open the door. And whoever steps through. I personally believe that there's a lot of psychics and a lot of mediums out there that will take one little piece of information and run with it and build a whole story off of it. I don't like to know who anyone wants to contact. I kind of just open that doorway and they come through for them.
So this guy comes through, and as you're saying, ow, it feels like I got hit by a ton of bricks. They immediately were going, oh my gosh, it was a train, right?
Yeah.
So they're realizing this.
His personality and everything like that. You know, she had readings for me in the past, and she felt comfortable enough to tell me it was a train. Usually when people tell me what it is, the pain stops. I know that sounds really strange, but for some reason, if I'm not fully getting it, and it's just, it's very intense. Usually when someone brings it up, it will kind of stop, and then it will go into memories of that person or things that only that person would know.
So when you started feeling this, and then he went over to the other side, he continued, he was talking away about the way he would talk any other time. Did he know he had passed?
Yes. He was on the other side. He was crossed on.
Well, when he spoke about the conspiracies, did he say he had any answers after he passed?
No, he didn't tell me anything, which, you know, I'm really into that too, so that would have been kind of cool.
Yeah. Did you ask him? Did you say, well, what's the answer?
No, because the lady was really trying to get a hold of someone else. I was trying to kind of shush him up. I'm sure if I ever tried talking to him again, he probably would.
Yeah, say, hey, dude, listen, I've got some questions for you, all right? You got to answer. I'm connecting with you. I got to answer. So hang in there for a second there. You're listening to Coast AM. I'm Connie Willis-Moore with Carissa when we come back. Welcome back to Coast AM. Connie Willis here discussing with Carissa Hartley, who is a medical medium, what it's like to die, what it feels like. This is what she experiences when she talks to people, families, friends, even police officers, things like that, that are asking about, or actually it opens up and they talk. So Carissa, go ahead and tell me, I know you have so many of these situations, so go ahead and I'll just sit back and listen to some of the experiences you've had. And let us, you know, I think it's really interesting to know what it feels like, what we may expect in some of these situations, or what some of our other friends or family have experienced.
Sure. One of the ones that really stands out to me is a recent one that I did. And it was a guy that was shot in the head. Now, the police officers had ruled it suicide. This happened in the 80s, actually not too far from where I live currently in New York. And, you know, he was a war veteran. He was a really stand-up man. And the family really had a hard time believing that it was a suicide. So they had enlisted in me to do a reading and just open up to the other side to see if he would even come through or who would come through. And I just started feeling like almost like an ambush feeling when your adrenaline kind of kicks in. And I started feeling after that like panic and anger, and then a pain in the left side of my head, like a sharp but dull pain. And our brother, he committed suicide. I was like, it wasn't a suicide. I could tell by like the ambush feeling and the alertness that it was someone that had done it to him. And when I had gone in deeper to it, I actually got the name of his ex-wife screamed at me by him. And when I said that, the family members pretty much almost passed out on the other side of the phone.
So she was the one who did it when they thought it was a suicide?
Well, the family had always thought that this woman had ulterior motives. They had owned a bar together. And I kept hearing in my head, because this person came in very clearly, like almost like a radio station being tuned into your head. And I had heard very clearly that it was over a bar. And I kept saying it was over the bar. And then I got his ex-wife's name. And it turns out when he had passed, she had gotten hold of the bar that was theirs.
Oh, wow. So you learn a whole lot of things. And do you ever get, well, I guess you did get some feedback on this one, but do you normally get feedback to confirm what you felt or found out as well?
Yes, all the time. For example, I had, this is another recent one, and it was a recent death. And I had felt like it was a heart attack. Like I just felt it in my chest. And when I feel heart attacks, it's like this really intense throbbing pain. It gets to the point where sometimes if I'm doing the reading, I have to like bend over because it's so sharp. The pain when you're feeling a heart attack. And I felt a heart attack, and they were like, no, our dad hit his head. And he was drunk and he hit his head on the sink. And I was like, no, I was like, have you gotten an autopsy back yet? And they told me they hadn't. And I was like, when you get that autopsy back, please inform me what it was. And I had gotten a call about, I guess, 2 weeks after the reading, and they had told me that it was the heart.
So he had a heart attack and then fell and hit his head. Okay.
He didn't even feel the head because he was already dead from the heart attack.
Wow.
And that actually gave him a lot of comfort because the way he had it hit his head was so brutal, and they were worried that he had been sitting there suffering. But he had the heart attack and then hit. He fell.
See, that's where I think would really help the family, if, you know, hearing something like that, just like exactly what you said. They thought he had suffered for a while, and what a relief for them to hear that, no, he didn't suffer. He didn't even feel that at that point.
Yeah,
So
and you know, I will say one thing about the death. I've experienced very brutal deaths, just doing the work that I do. And I will say the one thing that remains consistent, they don't tend to suffer for long. Even with the long-term illnesses, it seems to almost become a numbing effect, if that makes sense, where it is just there and it's part of it, but their pain levels kind of go away towards the end, even in the most brutal cases. I mean, I had someone that was crushed by a red truck, and all I saw was a flash of red and just instantly felt like almost like a can of sardines just being crushed into the pavement. And I actually felt the pavement on my elbow, and it was over in a flash of a second. And that is comforting for family members that, you know, are worried that their loved ones suffered. It's comforting to know that, yeah, it might have hurt a little bit, the adrenaline kind of kicks in.
You know, even when we see on the news or any documentaries about, remember the big shootings in Las Vegas, horrible, horrible. But when you saw some of the iPhone or smartphone footage from just regular people that were there that had their phones turned on and they were shooting everything they could, when they collected all that and put them in a documentary or something like that, or if you go onto YouTube and you look, you will see people that have been shot and they're still walking and they're just trying to get away from it.
Yeah.
Or I've seen even stadium shots where there was like fires set and some people were on fire. They were just trying to get away from it or get out. They didn't really feel the pain. They were just trying to get out of the situation. So yeah, I guess it is that adrenaline thing going on. They don't feel anything at that time.
Exactly. And I've actually experienced both mass shootings and fires, just from the people that have come to me for readings for their loved ones. You know, the mass shooting one, it was more of a sense of alertness and a sense of, I didn't even feel the bullet, to be honest with you. She had been shot in the chest. I did not feel that. I just felt alertness and almost like hiding underneath a desk. And it happened at a place of work. And it was just very alert and very, you know, it's your natural response kind of take over. And I also believe that God has something to do with it too, the higher power, whatever you want to call it. I do believe that they step in so we don't have to suffer as much as we would think we would, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Do people suffer more through your findings through a homicide or a suicide?
I believe suicide, just because of the depression and anxiety. If someone had those underlying issues, you know.
And I did want to ask you,
a
lot of the sadness. And it's kind of like they're expecting it as well, though, right?
Yeah, so it's not like a big shock when you're dealing with suicides. I mean, you know, when I'm dealing with someone that has killed themselves, the biggest thing is for them to let their family know that they have crossed on and they are okay with loved ones. And that, you know, they're sorry. They feel guilty for doing that to people and leaving that burden, but they're okay. They go on and they cross on. And I've had so many people that have been so worried that their loved ones are in hell, and just to hear that they're not has given them such comfort. But the depression and the mental illness that a lot of them have, or the drug addictions, that kind of stuff, that lingers, and that sadness, and that's most of the pain that I feel when I go into theirs. Does that make sense?
Well, I know you had something with a motorcycle. Apparently, what is it that you've told me before, that you've experienced pretty much every type of death except one?
Yeah, except for being eaten by a shark. I haven't experienced that one yet.
Oh, I hope you don't.
I don't know. I like sharks, so I don't know if I would mind that.
Oh, man. Okay. All right, well, tell me, there was a motorcycle one, I think. We've seen many of those on the road.
I do get a lot of motorcycle ones, but this one stands out to me the most. And it stands out to me because it was so strange. Just the feeling of it. You know, I saw myself, and it's going to sound completely weird, but when I was going through the dream, I saw myself as if I was that person. And I knew it was a motorcycle, and I knew that it was thrown off. And I felt the road, like I felt the road. And then my left leg started vibrating, like going up and down like crazy out of control on my bed. And I told them that, and they were just like, oh my gosh. And I was like, what? And they were like, his left leg was run over by a truck.
Ooh.
After being thrown from the motorcycle. And to me, that was the most interesting thing. It was like, imagine a heartbeat, like going up and down, up and down. That's how it felt.
Oof. So is it any different with murder victims? Well, I guess I asked that about homicide, but I know you have some stories there. And by the way, everybody, if you're just now tuning in, you're listening to Coast AM. We're talking with Carissa Hartley, a medical medium, talking about the way it feels when people pass on. So these are all new to me, too. I just, you know, have a little bullet point of some of the things I know she was going to talk about. But this is all fresh and new to me as well. So tell me about the murder victims.
Yeah, I have a lot of them, but I've dealt a lot with a mother and daughter, and it was a missing persons case. And the lady had just contacted me. She didn't even tell me what kind of reading she wanted. I didn't know if it was tarot or cross loved one, because I do tarot cards as well. But I started getting the sense of this woman, and she was about mid-age, and she was very sad. And I was like, I need to go into this. And I actually started crying as I was meditating before this reading even. And it was this woman and her daughter, and I knew they were connected like that, and I just knew that they were dead. I felt like strangling and hands around my neck, and I knew it was a man that was involved romantically with the mother and who had a sexual obsession with his stepdaughter, and I knew he had killed him at different points in time, and I was able to describe him to a T, and the family actually confirmed everything I had said, and they had said that the police have investigated him, but the police have no evidence. But everything I said matched to a T, even the weird sexual obsession that I knew that he had with the daughter, the family had confirmed that. They still have not been found, but I do believe I know where they are located. It's just a matter of getting there because they are in different parts.
Are they asking you where to go?
They ask me all the time.
Okay. How do you feel about this, that you have these abilities, and, you know, do you feel that you're helping people, or do you feel like, oh, I wish this were somebody else's task in life?
I love what I do just because I get to help people. Of course, it does become a burden sometimes. You know, sometimes I'm like, why can't I just live a normal life and have a normal job? But I do realize that I'm meant to do this to help people, and it's just, it's a lot. It can be but
it's a responsibility for sure.
It is. And it definitely is, but it's worth it when you find that person that needs those answers, or you find those people that, you know, they can't sleep at night because they miss their loved ones, or they don't know what happened to them, or they're missing. It does make it worth it. And I love what I do because of that.
You're in a position of being a giver. And it's almost 100% giver, because when people come to you, I mean, you're giving the entire time. And how do you go and detox, and how do you go and vacate as well?
My husband's really awesome. He really helps me a lot. You know, he kind of pampers me and treats me like a queen. And I don't really have to do too much around the house. So that's nice. And, you know, it's stuff like that that does go a long way, because like you said, it is so much giving energy. And I mean, you do 7 to 10 a day, it does take its toll on you. So I'm just very thankful to have him as my backbone, because without him, I don't even know where I would be. I'd probably be a mess and lost in space all the time. He kind of anchors me.
Well, I'm sure a lot of women out there may want to know if he's got a brother. It's just rare to find. Good for you. Well, good for you for that. Because I know that just takes so much out of a person, just constantly giving. You got to get some back, too, and you got to take care of yourself. Do you ever feel like you've given so much that you got to go, you know, I know your husband's there for you, but do you ever just like, I just got to take some time off? Do you do that for yourself?
I never get that. I try to take weekends off as much as I can, but if there's someone in need, I don't stop. if that makes sense. Like, I have no self-control when it comes to it. I've always been a workaholic. And now being able to help people, I enjoy it. And I really do love what I do. And I don't think there's a lot of people that can say that and full honestly mean it.
I love what I do. I love this and Blue Rock Talk. It's awesome. So I'm one of them. Yay. Okay, so tell me, let's get back into more. We're talking with Carissa Hartley here, a medical medium. She's talking about what it feels like when someone dies. So I know you have a whole bunch of really top ones that you can think of on the top of your head. Tell us another one.
You know, a lot of the times I deal with long-term illnesses such as cancer. Cancer is always very interesting to me because I see it as like a black mass, which I know sounds weird, but it's actually like circled in the part of the body it starts, and I feel like cramping where it starts, and then it kind of goes up, which I know it sounds really strange. Describe it like...
No,
like,
describe that again. How does it feel?
So it's like almost like I see a black mass in the part of the body where it starts, and then it's like a cramping. So let's say a person died of stomach cancer, I'll see like a black mass there. And it will feel a cramping. Now, if that cancer spreads, the cramping will start to spread throughout the body. And there's a lot of weak and tired, like, feelings and fatigue, if that makes sense. And that's a very common one.
I bet. It's terrible that that is so common. Can you go deeper into it to find out what cancer is, how to cure it? Can you go that far when you can see it and you can feel it, and you can see when people go to the other sides and hear it and feel it and connect with that? Are you able to go into some of these illnesses and figure out not just what they are and who really cares at that point? It's more of how do they cure it? Can you go to there? Can you get to that point?
I've tried. The medical thing really just started happening, I would say, like about maybe a year and a half ago, where I would literally feel it. It used to just be like a pin and needle type of feeling in the affected area. And now it's actually, I feel it or I see it. So I've been trying to kind of home in on the healing as well. It's just, it's all new to me. And your abilities kind of strengthen at weird times when you're gifted, if that makes sense. And it's kind of hard to explain, but it is stuff that I've contemplated and wondered how to do.
And I think the only way you can go down that pathway is when you go down that pathway. So that's excellent that you're heading that way, because, golly, wouldn't that be great if you could heal it?
I'm trying to figure it out. You know, I mean, it's definitely interesting, especially with like aneurysms, because they really, aneurysms to me feel the weirdest.
Well,
it's like a weird numbness in the head or in the affected area. Now, I had this one person that had passed away of a clogged artery in the left leg, and this is actually one of the first times I actually started realizing that I am a medical medium. They had a left leg issue, and literally for 4 months, I had a numbness in my leg that I couldn't explain, and I had gone to almost every single doctor. I had gone through test after test after test, and they had all come back normal. They actually put me on nerve damage medicine and all of this. And then one day it just had gone away completely.
Medium, medical medium. That's what she is. That's Carissa Hartley telling us what it feels like to die. More to come here. Stay with us on Coast to Coast AM. I'm Connie Willis.